Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in these gray and latter days, perhaps you can relate to Sally. Sally was feeling burnt out, tired, stressed to her limit. Part of it, of course, was due to her hectic schedule. She had things on her calendar every night for the next week, or next month, sorry. But that's only part of it. The other part of it was that she seemed to be hearing but nothing but bad news. Nothing but bad news. She'd get online or turn on the TV, and the headlines full of the latest controversies, the upheavals happening around the world or even in our own backyard. All of it combined was weighing heavy on her heart. She felt alone. She cried out, "Oh Lord, when? When is this going to end? When is there going to be some relief?" She was looking forward to the future and the hope of anticipation, the fullness of salvation to be revealed. And the Lord comes again in glory, and all things are put right. How long, O Lord? You feel like that sometimes? Sally's not alone, neither are you. She's been doing what the faithful have been doing for generations. She's been longing for what the prophets of old have proclaimed. The prophets, those given the words of God to speak, look to the future in anticipation of the Lord's salvation being revealed. Well, they knew something about stress, and they certainly knew of sin. They were called by God, given His words, to speak about it. They spoke the word of the Lord, warning from sin, calling to repentance, and then promising salvation for those who are met with repentance and faith. They proclaimed the word of the Lord's coming salvation, a time when the Lord of heaven and earth would raise up the dead bodies and breathe new life into them. Body and soul to be rejoined, physically and spiritually, where the stress and the sin and all the garbage of this world would be undone at the Lord's coming in glory. Elijah was one of those prophets who knew about sin and stress. He had gone and spoke the word to King Ahab about his idolatry. And as a result, now his life was put on the line and he ran in fear. He went and hid for a time in the wilderness, then went up on Mount Horeb and he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, am I alone? O Lord, when will you act?" And it's there that he heard the Lord speak. Hear the small, still voice of the Lord speaking words of precious promise concerning those 7,000 who have not bowed down to false gods and who still look with faith for the Lord's salvation to be revealed. And he was encouraged. Sally and Elijah, and perhaps some of you, both experienced the weight of a world afflicted by sin, waiting for the Lord's salvation to be revealed. Maybe you're not driving with Sally or not relating 100% with her, but maybe you have something more in common with Joe. Joe was sitting at his desk, and that list of to-dos just kept piling up. He was a hard worker. The demands of the job, they just kept coming. Part of that reason, because he's a hard worker, more responsibility is given. It's the way it goes sometimes, right? And on top of that, he had committed to serving on a special community board, which took him away from home in the evening. So he's gone during the day, gone at night, and when he would get home, he would feel a sense of guilt over not spending enough time with his family. It's not that the commitments were bad. They were good, in fact. But he was feeling that weight of not doing enough, that guilt. Somehow what was good now suddenly had become a law that stood over him, accusing him of breaking it over and over again, and that sense of guilt only grew over time. In many ways, Joe was experiencing with his commitments similar to what we experience with the commitments, the commandments, the law of the Lord. Right? The law of the Lord is good, we know that. And for those who receive it, at times it can be a list of to-dos. Don't do this, do that instead. The spoken law of the Lord could seem as a burden of commitment rather than the good that it was intended for. But even more, while our breaking of our commitments with family or friends or those in the community leave us with guilt, when it comes to breaking that law of the Lord, it leaves us not only guilty, but dead in our sin. The law of God always has a way of exposing that latent sin which resides in the hearts of us all. And we shouldn't be surprised by that. It's been that way ever since the first lawbreakers, Adam and Eve, decided that it wasn't important to listen to the word of the Lord, but to their own desires. And as a result, they were guilty. And they tasted death. And from that time on, the law of the Lord has revealed that guilt in each of our lives as we have not lived up to it. Even though the law is good, it brings to light our guilt and ultimately exposes our sin and leads us to death. Moses knew this. He knew it all too well. Though he was the one through whom the law was given to on Mount Sinai, when Moses came down from the mountain, he found that the Israelites were worshiping a golden calf and breaking that first commandment, love only the Lord. They were guilty, all of them, and they deserved death. Here Moses, though, cries out to mercy on their behalf. The Lord hears his prayer and saves his people. And ultimately, through the wanderings in the wilderness, he brings them into the promised land. And yet here again, even though the law came through Moses, it turns out that he also is guilty of breaking the Lord's commandments. And as a result, he was not permitted to enter into the land of promise, but died on the mountain overlooking it. Sally and Joe, Moses and Elijah, we have things in common with each and every one of them. Sally and Elijah felt alone and isolated and looked forward to the salvation of the Lord. Joe and Moses knew the law as it showed their sin and revealed their need for salvation. Salvation. Salvation is what the law and the prophets were ultimately always pointing to. At the time of Moses and Elijah, both the law and the prophets were waiting and looking forward for that fulfillment, for things to be put right. The law and the prophets find their fulfillment. They find it fulfilled in Jesus alone. One day, as we read, 6 days, actually, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a mountain. And while they were there, Jesus was changed before their eyes. His metamorphosis blinded the disciples. His face shone as the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. This transfiguration stunned the disciples. Not only was Jesus physically changed in front of them, but before them were two other figures from Israel's past, Moses and Elijah, the representatives of the law and the prophets. These men were people to and through whom the Lord spoke in the past, and now they were somehow standing with Jesus on this mountain, in the flesh. Jesus is speaking with them. He is transformed, transfigured before them, and is revealing to them that they are not talking just to Jesus of Nazareth, but to the very Word of God made flesh who dwelt among them. God in the flesh. Confirmed all the more as the cloud enveloped them, and the disciples heard the voice of the Father proclaiming the same. This is my Son. Listen to him. The disciples fell on their face in fear and terror, for they realized that they were standing on the mountain with the Holy God of Israel, the Creator of heavens and earth, God in the flesh, as his face and his raiment could not contain his glory. They bowed down their faces into the dust as the cloud of glory that had enveloped Horeb and Sinai in the past now surrounded them on the Mount of Transfiguration. They realized that they were sinners in the sight of a holy God. And they did the only thing appropriate that sinners can do when they encounter a holy God. They fell down on their face in fear. It must have seemed like an eternity. But then Jesus comes up and he puts his hand on them. He touches them. He reaches out in a gesture of peace and pardon and comfort. And he spoke words of comfort. He said, "Fear not, rise." And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah weren't there. There certainly were no tents around. There was only Jesus. There, standing before them, was the Son of God extending to them divine pardon and peace. The salvation of the Lord, from whom the law and the prophets have long pointed. There on the mountain, these blessed men saw with their eyes the glory of the Lord who comes to save his creation from sin and death. It was a glimpse of glory, and the moment passed so quickly. For soon the disciples were coming down the mountain with Jesus into the valley, or into the plain, as we sang in our opening hymn. Though his face no longer shone, his clothes were again travel-worn, his face set upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem, a place where he would climb yet another mountain, and where instead of his cloak being transfigured and changed bright and light, his cloak and his tunic would be stripped from him. On the mountain of Golgotha, Jesus would extend his hands, but in a very different gesture of peace and pardon and salvation. Jesus would stretch out his arms, receive nails that would hold his body to the cross, and there Jesus would die. Under the law, condemned as a sinner, as the prophets had foretold, so that you and I might be redeemed and saved from sin and death. Jesus alone is the hope of salvation for sinners like you and me. Jesus alone is the one who fulfills the law and the prophets. Jesus alone is the one who speaks the Father's word of law and gospel perfectly. Jesus alone is the one who comes to breathe life into our mortal bodies. Jesus alone is the one who suffered the death that our own sin deserved. Jesus alone is risen from the dead. But it will not be Jesus alone at the resurrection on the last day. Then you and I shall see him in his glory, with a risen and victorious church, not the 7,000 who didn't bow down to Baal in the days of Elijah, but with the 144,000 from every tongue and tribe and nation, will dwell with our Lord for all time, as all things are put right, and sin and mourning are a thing of the past. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you are stressed out and tired, where you are run six ways from Sunday, look to Jesus alone, for he is the one who speaks his promise to you. He doesn't promise that your life is going to get easier, that the world is going to get better before the last day, but he does promise to be present with you and to walk with you down that difficult path and to lead you into his ever outstretched arms of love. One who says, I am with you always, even until the end of this age, keeps his word of promise. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when you are burdened by the demands of the law and you feel the condemning weight of your guilt and your sin, and you fall on your face in fear of the Lord, listen again only to Jesus. For he is the one who speaks to you words of absolution. It is he who offers you his very body and blood to cleanse you from your sin, to strengthen you for the journey as you have a foretaste of the feast that is still yet to come. Sally, Joe, Moses, Elijah, you and me, there is only one person to whom we may all turn in the midst of all life's difficulties, with our struggles with sin, and that's Jesus alone. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.